thank you for having me come and do this. I think this is a wonderful thing. I think we need this. We need our time with our sisters. Yesterday, I was reading through the book that we're doing in our ladies' class. It's called Echoing His Heartbeat, The Life of David. And there was just this quote in there that I thought, that sounds just like what we're looking for. God wants you to live a bold, courageous life in Him. He wants you to face your days with confidence and the assurance that He is with you, loves you, and will provide all your needs. So I want to start with a thought question. Okay, so can you remember who you were before the world told you who you should be? I just thought that was an interesting concept. I started thinking about that, and I want you to do that. I want you to think in your mind for a minute. Go back and just remember who you were before the world told you who you should be. That process of the world telling you who you should be is the process through which we develop our insecurities. So, when I thought about it, this is what I came up with. This is me. Front row, kids squished in the middle, little red tights on. Big smile on her face, because at that age, at age 7, this is my only year in Tennessee schools, by the way, I had all the mysteries of life solved. I was just, my teacher told my mother, I was the happiest child she'd ever seen. And when my mom told me that, she said, I was a teenager, and I thought, that was before I had any control over it. And what I mean by that is, like, now I can choose joy. I can say I'm going to be happy no matter what. I can face things. But at that point, that's just who I was. I was on top of the world. I had all the great mysteries of life solved. Let me give you a few examples. So there's a girl in the top row, and her name was Devon, and she was the mayor's daughter. And she tried to run everything. So one day... Well, you know, there's one in every crowd. But one day, I was on the seesaw with Devon, and Devon says to me, "Don't like Annette." So in my mind, in my little Lizzie McGuire bubble over here, I'm thinking, that sentence irks me because it doesn't make logical sense. How can you possibly command me to turn off my emotions towards somebody? I was actually thinking that at 7. I was thinking, this just doesn't make any sense at all. See, peer pressure conquered at the age of 7. Okay, so another situation that we had one day, all those girls in that picture, we were going to be blood sisters. And before any of you really freak out, no blood was actually exchanged. But we were going to meet in the bathroom one morning and prick our fingers and rub our fingers together, and we were going to be blood sisters. And we were going to do it universally. We were going to pair off. But so I walk in the bathroom that day, and I say, "Well, who's my blood sister going to be?" And Devon says, "You can be Annette's." And I thought, well, what's wrong with Annette today? It never occurred to me that I could be the outcast of the day because I have self-assurance mastered. That's just how I was. I looked at things like, I'm the defender of the week. I'm the defender of Annette because poor Annette's always picked on. But it never occurred to me that maybe I should be thinking, somebody doesn't like me. Somebody thinks badly of me. That never crossed my mind. Okay, one more thing from my second grade year, my great, awesome second grade year. We were getting ready to move to Pennsylvania. At the end of the year, we were moving from Tennessee to Pennsylvania. And my mother pulled a dress out of the closet, little blue gingham dress. She put me in that dress. She stood me in front of the mirror. She said, "We are moving to Pennsylvania, and little girls in Pennsylvania wear dresses all the time." This was her attempt at trying to conquer my tomboy spirit, which was a fail on her part. But I stood and I looked at that girl in the blue gingham dress and I went, wow, I'm going on another adventure. The world is full of possibilities and I'm ready for anything that comes. That's just how I saw life when I was 7 years old. But then life happens. We all grow up. We experience things, good and bad, and all of that starts to mold who we become. We take all of that information in, and it changes us. It changes the way we look at the world. So I think it's only fair that you see a picture. Oh, sorry, I put that in there so that you didn't have to stare at me at 7 the whole time. But I think it's fair that you see a picture of me now, how I see myself now. This is me. My armor is on. This girl's favorite verse is Psalm 91:7. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes I will look and see the reward of the wicked. That girl can take, her hair is flowing in the breath of the dragon, by the way, and she can take anything that dragon or the world can throw at her today. And then I get out of bed in the morning. So that's how I can see myself, and that's what I do in my head. I really try to build that up. But do I have insecurities? You bet I have insecurities. Okay, wait. Okay, Betty Bowers, you cannot tell anybody I said this. But we live with our two moms. Do you think that that puts a lot of pressure on me? Everything I cook, the way I clean, and young girls, if the little girls were in here, I'm going to say, you know how your mom tells you what to wear? It never goes away. It never stops. There are days I can't make it through the grocery store checkout line with my confidence intact. By the time I have dropped groceries and knocked the thing off that where the bags are stacked, and I'm walking out and the lady behind me says, honey, your wallet's laying in the floor. You know, there are days that are just like that, and you all have those days. Okay, but I want to give you a little test. Where are you sitting? If you are sitting between two people you didn't know before you walked in here today, raise your hand. Okay, brave soul. How about just one? Are you sitting by one person you didn't know before you walked in here today? It took a lot of, we walk in here and we're like, okay, I need somebody to sit by. I need somebody that I know to sit by because that's part of our insecurities. Okay, how about what you're wearing? I got really tickled at Meredith. She was up here talking to me before, and she said, I didn't know what to wear today. I didn't know if I was supposed to dress like my mom. What was I supposed to do? So how many of you had to text or call somebody and say, what are you wearing to that class today? Can I wear jeans? I mean, like, that's, you know, like, we do those things because we're just not secure. We're just aren't sure. Okay, and then young moms, you really have it tough. I'm not even going to give you a test because you were judged on 15 different levels just walking into this auditorium today. Do I breastfeed? Do I bottle feed? Do I let my baby cry it out, or do I rock my baby to sleep? Do I wear my baby? Do I not wear my baby? And don't think for a second that we don't all have an opinion about how your child behaves during worship. It's tough being a mom. It is. You're in the adolescence of adulthood, and you question everything you do. It's hard. So, am I going for it? Okay, so where do our insecurities come from? They come from our fears. They come from judgments. They come from rejection. They come from no confidence in talents. That is a big one for me. For instance, can you imagine standing before an audience of ladies and speaking? No. It's hard. It's hard to overcome these things. And that's where they go. So Dobson says, 90%, I really like this up here, 90% of our self-esteem is based upon what we think others think about us. That is a whole lot of real estate in your brain that you are giving away rent-free. Okay, so I went to this really reputable site called Psychologist Anywhere, Anytime. Okay, I was just looking for something about confidence or lack of, and I like what they had to say. Your degree of confidence is the trust or faith that you have in yourself and your abilities. Realistic feelings of confidence and positive self-esteem affect how you think and act, how you feel about others, and how successful you are in life. That's big. I mean, your thoughts, your actions, your interactions, your success is all affected by your confidence or your lack thereof. Okay, so how are we going to regain control? We're going to do it by remembering who we are in the eyes of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 23. Okay, so it says, for we have been called for this purpose, since Christ, who also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Okay, that word example is probably one of my favorite Greek words in the Bible. It's hupogrammos. And what hupogrammos is when you were in kindergarten or first grade and your teacher gave you a sheet and it was dotted letters and you had to take your pencil and trace those letters so that you would learn to make your letters correctly. That's hupogrammos, that's underwriter. And sometimes the teacher would take her hand and she would place it over your hand and help guide you. This is the concept in this word, example, the kind of example that Jesus left for us to follow in his steps. So when we, and that's what it says, follow in his steps. So when we see the steps of Jesus, we put our feet in his steps and we won't go wrong. And ultimately, we will keep entrusting ourselves to him who judges righteously, just like Jesus did. He went outside of himself to find his confidence. And what we have to do in order to be able to do this is to spend time with Jesus every day. We need to spend time walking with him through Galilee. We need to spend time sitting with at his feet with Mary. We need to make eye contact with him while he is hanging on the cross. We need to spend that time with Jesus. Okay, so what I want to do to get an idea of how Jesus left us this example and that we follow in his steps and ultimately we see him entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. I want to just, what we're going to do is we're going to go through some passages in Mark really fast so that you can see what he did and how we need to do that. So we're looking at the Emmanuel. That I love Isaiah 40. I love the incomparable God. But right now, I want you to connect with the God with us. I want you to remember this man lived in the flesh, that he had nerve endings and tear ducts, and he can relate to everything that you're going through. So we have an example of Jesus when he was speaking to a father of a son possessed, and he said, "All things are possible to him who believes." Do you hear the confidence in that statement? Jesus believes this, and he is telling this man, "All things are possible to him who believes." And then we go on into Mark 10, and he's talking to his disciples after their encounter with the rich young ruler, and he says, "With people, it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." And then to his disciples after seeing the withered fig tree, he says, "All things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have already received them, and they will be granted to you." Can you imagine? Do you have the faith to pray that what you are asking God for, he's already given you? He says, pray that way. You pray like God's already got this. God already knows what you need, and he is taking care of it. Do you hear the confidence that he has? This is a wonderful example for us. And then I love this because this Mark 12, he is telling a parable, and he's telling it to his enemies. And, you know, so many of the parables they didn't get, but he knows those enemies know exactly what I'm talking about. And he is facing down his enemies, and he says, "The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone." Jesus had confidence. He knew who he was. He knew who he believed in. But now I'm going to take you to the garden. And in the garden, this is where we see him entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. He says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." You know that he believes that. And he said, "Remove this cup from me." And you know he said, "Pray asking like you've already gotten it." And yet he says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." Because he's entrusting his soul to the one who judges righteously. So he wants us to face life with confidence. He wants us to believe everything is possible. He wants us to know that we have such a relationship with God that he will hear us. And yet he also wants us to say, "Your will be done." That's the kind of faith that we have to have. He places himself in the hands of the one who can judge righteously. Okay, so Jesus left us his word. Jesus was the word, and he left us his word so that we can develop that same kind of God confidence. And it's there on every page. And it, interestingly enough, I'm picking one selection from Ephesians because I think it's amazing. Ephesians is amazing to see who we are in Christ. And so we're going to see some snapshots from Ephesians 3. So I can be confident like Jesus because we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Because Jesus is the one who brought the promises to the world, we can be fellow partakers of that. He is the one in whom we find unfathomable riches. He's the one who makes me a part of what this is amazing. Because of that plan before the foundation of the world, he makes me a part of what shows the multifaceted wisdom of God to the rulers and powers in the heavenly places. That should just equip you with a lot of confidence. I stand in this world as an example of God's multifaceted wisdom. That is just so awesome. So the world doesn't get this. But because Jesus is who he is, I can bow before the Father anytime, anywhere. That golden scepter is always extended to me. Our family name comes from God. Our name tells us who we are. It tells me who I am, and it tells the world who I am. I am a Christian. That is our spiritual identity right there. As a family member, I have riches, power. I am rooted and grounded in love. And Paul says, you've got to comprehend this. You've got to understand this. He says, Christ's love is so deep, so wide, so high that it surpasses knowledge. So while you are wrapping your mind around all this unfathomable and knowledge-surpassing stuff, he's just getting started. Okay? He says, he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So, when I'm walking in those footsteps and I need to entrust my soul, it's okay because he can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And okay, now, are you ready for this? This is the kicker. By the power that works within us. In my notes, I have dropped the mic. I better not, because I'm having trouble not hitting it. But that is just incredible. All of that stuff is God is working through me to accomplish great things for his purposes. That is a lot of confidence. We are more than conquerors, and we can slay those dragons. Okay? So why do I still feel like this? Look at the words on this girl's face. And just ask yourself, can you relate to any of that? Raise your hand if you can relate to any of that. Yes, you can. We do. Why do our insecurities keep bubbling up? One of my favorite movies is Mom's Night Out. And it's just my go-to when I need a good laugh. It's just a funny movie. Allison, the main character, is just very relatable. She's just a young mom who needs a night away from her kids and from the house. And she finally gets her opportunity, and she goes out with her friends, and everything goes horribly awry. It's just a disaster. And so then she ends up in the dark jail. She's not in jail. She's just in the police station with who she thinks is probably her last friend on the earth, this man named Bones. And she says, no matter how hard I try, I'm just not enough. And so they have this conversation. Bones says, for who? Not enough for who? And Allison says, I mean, Sean, the kids, my mother, for God, I don't know. And Bones says, you? Not enough for you? And then Bones gives her this Jesus loves you speech. But what I want to say is that all that matters is who I am in Christ. Anything that creates insecurities in our life has been removed in Christ. Jew, Greek, bond, free, male, female. He said, you're all one. You're all one. Let's level the playing field. The point is we are enough. We're enough in him. That's what matters. So, I want to take this and make some practical application. So, how do we get to, from the girl with the words on her face back to being the dragon slayer? The answers are in the book. They just always are. If I have questions and issues in my life, God has spoken to me some way, somewhere there are the answers in that book. He is going to tell me how to handle those things. So when I have a problem, maybe that's where I need to go for the solution. So my first, I have 3 points for application. And my first one, I title it, Why Not My Kids? So I taught a class, and I was going to have a party and have my kids over, their siblings and their parents. And so we did that. We had just a little gathering in our home. Anyway, those pictures from that event ends up on Facebook. And I have a sister who's here today, Misty, whose kids weren't at this thing. And Misty sees these pictures on Facebook, and she starts wondering, why not my kids? Why were my kids not invited to this? Now, Misty had some options. She could have handled this in several different ways. The first thing she could have done, and relate this to yourself, ask yourself, how would I handle this situation? Have I done it these different ways? She could have just stewed. She could have felt rejected. She could have just like let that boil in her head and never done anything beyond that. But she would be harboring ill feelings. I think a lot of us do that a lot. We don't want to create a problem. We just want it, you know, like, we want to try to deal with it ourselves, but we're not, because it's there and it's getting bigger and bigger. She could have been vindictive. She could have said, fine, I'll have something and I won't invite you. You know, sometimes we go that direction with our feelings and our emotions. But what she did, and what I think the best option for this is she went to her sister. I think that's God's solution. Misty chose to communicate. And I think communication is one of our biggest problems when we don't go to each other and just talk to each other about the things that are bothering us. It creates barriers in our life. Misty instead chose to build a bridge between us. So she comes, she says, hey, why weren't my kids invited? And I said, because it was just my class and their siblings. And she goes, oh, okay, I get that. And it was just so simple when we had the conversation. It was just so easy. And what that did for me is now I have this sister that I can talk to. And when I have questions, and this wasn't Misty's, like we have discussed other things. We've debated other things through our life. But I know how Misty's going to handle it, because I know how she handles things when she has questions about what I'm doing. And so that's good. Build those bridges with your sister. That's going to help remove some of the insecurities. Okay, so the second thing, I call it James 5:16 versus isolation. James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that healing is real. And we, once again, it's one of those things that, do I want to go and talk to somebody about something, or do I want to keep it to myself? You know, that's the food of insecurities, is keeping it to yourself. So what I did when I was preparing this lesson is I contacted my three daughters. I have two daughters and a daughter-in-law. And I said, tell me about your insecurities. What's going on in your life? And so Christy and Heidi came back with what I considered normal, what I expected to hear from them. They're both preacher's wives, and so they have that spotlight issue going on. They are young moms, and so they have all the stuff that goes with being a young mom, all that's going on. So that I expected. Madeline, who is right in there with them, she's not a preacher's wife, but she's a young mom and everything. I kind of expected her to say the same thing. She waited till the 11th hour to get me her information back, but it's because she took a long time to think about it. And this is what she said. She says, I'm uncomfortable in large groups because I'm not the life of the party. I'm not the funny one. She said, I've been at the same congregation for 14 years. And I started there as a college student. It took a long time for them to see me as anything other than a college student. But I've been here for 14 years, and I still don't always feel like I belong. Now, all of this was amazing information to me. Like, I'm her mom, and I didn't know all of this. I didn't know she felt it. Because if you knew Madeline, Madeline sings like a bird, you know, sings like a canary, and she will get on stage, and she will perform, and she's amazing. And she is funny, and she is, you know, she is a control freak. Like, if you want something organized in your life, give it to Madeline. She can, you know, she has such confidence in those things. And yet here she is, she's saying all these things that I didn't even realize about her. And but I didn't have enough time to dwell on, oh, my poor Madeline, before she came up with, so the solution is. And I thought, oh, well, she's already solved her own problem. So she submits this solution to me, and she says, what I need is I need to spend time maybe with one family at a time. I need to invite a family into my home and get to know them, and then do that with another family and get to know them, and build. I need to work on building these relationships. I need to be the one to do this rather than feeling sorry for myself. And then she said, they have something that they call Soul Sisters, and I'm not into naming groups. I'm not into acronyms for everything. I mean, like, but you know, she's what it is the sisters in their congregation get together, I guess on a monthly basis or something, and what they're going to do is they're going to talk and they're going to pray. They're going to pray for each other. And so Madeline says she goes to these and she listens to these people pour out their heart about their troubles, and all of a sudden, the fact that she doesn't feel like she fits in feels very small when somebody's struggling with major financial problems, adultery, all these other things that are going on, and I'm like, oh, wow. I can help this person. And so what she said, is her conclusion was, I need my sisters. I need to be spending time with my sisters. And she was like, I want to tell my sisters that this is what they need to do. Everybody needs to be spending time with their sisters, that you need each other. And so I just thought that was a really great conclusion. And you see, my thing, it says, versus isolation. Isolation, I think, is one of Satan's greatest tools. If he can get you by yourself, if he can get you with your own thoughts, if he can get you to not share with your sisters, then you are just prime, fertile soil for anything he wants to do for you. He can, you know, it's kind of like when animals are trying to catch the prey, and if they can isolate that one, then he's got you. You know, so that's that is just, we don't want to go there. We want to go to our sisters. Okay, and so then my last thing I call the speck and beam syndrome. I have really got to hurry. Okay, you know the passage, you know, like, don't worry about the speck in somebody else's eye when you've got a beam in your own. And what it is sometimes with our insecurities, we tend to project our insecurities onto others. And what I mean by that is, for instance, if I perceive myself as lazy, then I look at you and I go, boy, are you lazy. I can't believe you got up and didn't make your bed this morning. I don't even know you. I hope you made your bed. You know, and that's the thing. Instead of trying to solve my own problem, I feel this way about myself. What can I do to make myself come out of that? How can I grow out of that? Instead of doing that, it's easier for me to find people in the world that are worse than me. That's just the way we do. That's not God's solution, though. God's solution sounds more like the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. God's solution is grace and mercy. God's solution is being Christ-like. Christ-likeness means humbling ourselves, accepting criticism, esteeming others higher than ourselves. And how do we do that? We do that with a God confidence. I can let go of that 90% when I focus on who I am in Christ. I can be the person that breaks the cycle. I read this on the internet, of course, but and it was entitled, Be the Person That Breaks the Cycle. If you were judged, choose understanding. If you were rejected, choose acceptance. If you were shamed, choose compassion. Be the person you needed when you were hurting, not the person that hurt you. Vow to be better than what broke you, to heal instead of becoming so bitter, so that you can act from your heart and not your pain. Okay, so I had a sister a couple years back who was at a real low point in her life. She was questioning her self-worth, And so I just sat down with my Bible and just flipped through my New Testament. Took about 30 minutes to see, who does God say that I am? Where is my worth in Christ? And this is what I came up with for her. Children of God, justified, sanctified, glorified, appointed to eternal life, called to be saints, God's elect, more than conquerors, conformed to the image of his Son, loved, servants of Christ, a new creation, heirs according to the promise, led by the Spirit, made alive, his workmanship, fellow citizens, members of the household of God, dear children, children of light, filled with the fruits of righteousness, blameless, harmless, lights in the world, hidden with God in Christ, holy and beloved, called into his own kingdom and glory, hope, joy, crown, beloved brethren by the Lord, good soldier of Jesus Christ, vessels of honor, useful for the master, equipped for every good work, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. God is not ashamed to be called their God, of whom the world is not worthy. Partakers of his holiness, registered in heaven, begotten to a living hope, more precious than gold, holy, purified, born again, very precious in the sight of God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God, partakers in Christ's suffering, blessed Christian, partakers of the glory that will be revealed, called to his eternal glory, given life and godliness, given exceedingly great and precious promises, partakers of the divine nature, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, his own special people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, forgiven, pure, born of God, preserved in Jesus Christ. That is awesome. That is the power that works within me. Muhammad Ali used to build himself up by saying, I am the greatest. My power and my confidence comes from the greatest, the I am. Thank you.